Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast, and welcome to a new year. Welcome to 2015. And much gratitude to God for bringing us safely through another year and depositing us upon the threshold of a brand new year. And who but God Himself knows what this year may bring forth. But we all wondered what 2014 would bring forth on the first day of January a year ago. And we've had some surprises, no doubt. But here we are. God has brought us safely through. And if God gives us another year, it's because He has things for us to do on the earth in His interest for His kingdom in the new year. In fact, that's true with every day that He gives us. If God gives me another day, it's because He has something that He wants me to do in His kingdom for that day. And when He's done with me, He'll take me home. And if you're a child of God, the same thing is true for you. Actually, the same thing is true of you whether you are a child of God or not, but you should be conscious of it if you are a child of God, and your usefulness to God and His kingdom varies a great deal depending on whether you are His child or whether you are not. But but we recognize that God even uses those who are not His children to accomplish His purposes. So if you are on planet Earth, it's because God has a purpose for you being here. And when that purpose has been finally and fully served, then God will remove you from this planet, from this earthly sphere. It is as simple as that. I am, and this will be true of you too, but I'll put it in the personal form here. I am invincible until God is done with me. Nothing can harm me. Nothing can kill me. Nothing can destroy me until God is through with me. And then when God's purpose for me is over here upon the earth, nothing can keep me here. I am entirely in God's hands, and so are you. My times are in thy hands. And that's the way we ought to live every single day. And those are good thoughts for New Year's Day, the first day of 2015. Thank you for joining me. We thank the Lord for the privilege of these radio broadcasts that we call the Beacon Broadcast. And we are so grateful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Now, as we are moving along in 2 Peter, we come to chapter 2, verse 1, and to the subject of false teachers, which now becomes the prominent, predominant subject for the remainder of the book. False teachers. Not the most, what should I say, the most fuzzy, gooey subject in all the world, but maybe one of the most important ones that we could possibly consider. And here's the way chapter 2 opens. But there were also false prophets among the people. There were also false prophets among the people. And that is in contrast with the true prophets that were referred to in the last part of chapter 1. There Peter talks about prophecy. He talks about prophets and the product of their speaking and writing, namely the Bible, the prophetic word of God. And he said in verse 19, And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So he talks about prophecy and he talks about prophets. The term he uses for prophets here is holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But, of course, that is a description of prophets. A prophet is one who receives divine revelation and passes it on. A prophet is a mouthpiece. A prophet is a spokesman. A prophet is one who speaks the word of God that has been given to him by God. And so that last phrase in verse 21, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, tells us that there were true prophets, but, and here's that contrasting particle, but, it connects, but it also contrasts, but there were also false prophets among the people. Thank God there were true prophets, but don't be naive into thinking that there were only true prophets, because there were also false prophets. Now, the true prophets, as we saw, are the ones that God used to give us his word. And maybe I could summarize what we studied a few broadcasts ago about the Bible, the Word of God, as it came to us by these holy men of God. We learned in this passage that the Bible is the Word of God. It does not contain the Word of God, although it does, but that's a very tricky phraseology. I believe the Bible contains the Word of God. Well, I believe that Coca-Cola contains sugar, but that doesn't mean that it's entirely sugar. Some people might think it is, but it's not. It's got other things in it, too. And so when you say the Bible contains the Word of God, you're simply saying that some of it is God's Word and some of it is not. Some of it is the Word of God. Some of it is the Word of men. It contains the Word of God, and I can discern. I think I see some things in there that are the Word of God. And my question is, how do you know what is and what isn't? Is this entirely subjective? Is this to go according to your feeling? Is this all determined upon the way it strikes you? The way it impacts you? And if it impacts you a certain way, that's God's word. If it doesn't impact you, that's man's word. If you agree with it, it's God's word. If you don't agree with it, that's man's word. Let's not fall into that kind of trap, because there's no way to be certain about anything if that's your viewpoint of the Bible. No, the Bible does not simply contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. All of the Bible is God's Word. In fact, what Peter is teaching us in the last part of chapter 1 is that the Bible is a divine human product. And that, of course, involves an element of mystery, similar to the mystery of the triune Godhead. We know what the Bible teaches, but we don't fully understand it. We do not understand how God can be one God and yet three persons, and the three persons are separate persons, but there is only one God. There is a great deal of mystery there. And similarly, in talking about the Bible, there's a great deal of mystery here, similar to the mystery of the nature of Jesus Christ, who is the God-man. He is 100% God and 100% man. God joined to human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ is both God and both man. And how you understand that, how you understand the connection between the two, is a great mystery. And there are a lot of mysteries in the Bible, like the mystery of divine sovereignty and human will. How do you fully explain, how do you fully understand and explain that mystery? I don't think anybody has fully explained it, because I don't think anybody can. Maybe to put it in simple terms, we can say something like this. Who did it? Anything. Who did it? Answer, I did. Same question, who did it? Answer, God did. And both are true. That's the mystery of divine sovereignty and human will. I did it, but I don't do anything except what God wills for me to do. You don't think God could stop me from doing anything he didn't want me to do? You don't believe in a very powerful God if you don't believe that. So obviously, if I did it, God willed it. I know that gets into a lot of mystery, doesn't it? It really does. And we could open a big can of worms there, but I'm just simply telling you that there are a lot of mysteries in the Bible. And the Bible itself is a mystery because the Bible is a divine human product. Who wrote it? Man did. Who wrote it? God did. Both are true. But man wrote it as guarded and guided by the Holy Spirit of God, so that even though it is man's words, man's thoughts, man's vocabulary, man's knowledge, it is God's word, God's thoughts, God's knowledge. God superintended what men wrote and guarded it and filtered it, you might say, filtering out anything that was not absolutely true, filtering out anything that God did not want included. So, who wrote the Bible? Men did. Who wrote the Bible? God did. What kind of book is the Bible? It's a human book, but it's far more than that, but it is a human book. What kind of book is the Bible? It is a divine book, the only divine book. God only wrote one book. It's called the Bible. God only wrote one book, the Bible. Now, I think God's children know these things about the Bible almost instinctively. They have the power of the Word of God in their souls. They know that they have heard the voice of God in the Bible. They may not be able to explain the doctrine of inspiration, that the Bible is God's Word, but they believe it. They believe it because they have experienced the power of it in their lives. But skeptics will never be convinced of this by human persuasion. You can talk to a skeptic who does not believe the Bible is the Word of God and does not want to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and you will never overcome his skepticism by talking about fulfilled prophecies. As amazing and remarkable as they are, you'll never overcome his skepticism by talking about the remarkable unity of the Bible from beginning to end, even though it covers a span of 1,500 years and about 40-some different human authors. Whenever you talk about these things to them, it will sound like circular reasoning and will be totally unpersuasive. You talk to a Christian, a true, genuine, born-again Christian about these things, and you don't have to convince him. He enjoys hearing about more of the details and confirming what he already knows in his soul, but he knows the Bible is God's Word because it has spoken to him. And so all we have to do is proclaim the Bible. We must use God's living Word because God will use his Word to accomplish his work, and God will use his Word to convince and convict skeptics, at least those that he wants to bring to himself. And when he does, they will know. When he does, they will change. When he does, they will agree that the Bible is God's Word. They have felt its power in their souls. And until God works that work of regeneration in their heart, they never will believe it, will they? But the Bible is God's Word. And it was given to us by holy men that we call prophets of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.